Broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, and joining us on the show today, two business leaders here in the area, Randy Wellborn, the owner of Wellborn Heating and Air Conditioning, and Stephen Julian with Cornerstone Private Client Group. Good morning to both of you gentlemen. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Mike.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Randy, we'll start with you. You are the owner of Wellborn Heating and Air Conditioning. You've been in business, I understand, 33 years in the industry. Let's talk, first of all, about the company. Talk a little bit about the history and exactly what are the services that you provide there?
Well, history-wise, I'm the third generation of my family in this. My grandfather started in this business in 1927, and my father followed him and my father. The industry's changed a lot. Obviously, when I started in it, everything was very simple. Furnaces were not complicated, nor were air conditioning. They had been rolling along 30-some-odd years without much change at all. And now everything's very complicated. We've gone from 3 moving parts on a furnace to 8 moving parts and electronic circuitry, computers, diagnostics, and it's an entirely different world now than it was then.
So you had no choice to get into the business then because of your dad and your grandfather.
Well, I had all the choice that I wanted. I have 3 brothers that avoided it, but I liked my father a lot. He was a great guy, and it was initially a way to spend more time with him, and I thought I would do it for a little while and just never walked away.
Congratulations, 33 years is great for not just, you know, for you, you know, being in charge now as the owner and the company being around so long, because as you say, the business does change, and to be around 33 years says quite a bit. So questions that I have now, you know, when you talk about heating and air, sometimes when you talk about that, you hear this thing about efficiency rating. What does that mean for those out there that don't understand efficiency ratings?
Well, the ratings on furnaces are very straightforward. An 80% furnace puts 80% of the heat of the combustion into the air and exhausts 20% of the heat of combustion out with the flue gases. And then if you go up to a 90 or 95% furnace, obviously you're getting a lot more heat for your gas dollar. As far as air conditionings are concerned, they originally came out with what is called an EER rating, which had a set temperature inside and outside, and they measured the heat that the unit was moving versus the electrical heat that it took to operate it. And they've changed that since then and to put it across a variety of conditions. So therefore, somebody in a mild climate could shop as intelligently as somebody in a hot climate. They now have what are called SEER ratings. Obviously, the higher the number, the more you're going to save. The Department of Energy claims that a 13 SEER unit is 30% more efficient than a 10 SEER unit. I think that's fudging a little bit. I don't think it's quite that much. But then, of course, as you go up, then it's even more efficient.
I have to ask you, we're talking with Randy Wellborn, the owner of Wellborn Heating and Air Conditioning. And I don't know if this is a myth or not. I've been told you should never turn off your heating, your air conditioning, the unit itself, you know, when you're at the thermostat. Don't turn it off, just turn it up or down. But if you actually turn it on and off, it actually wastes more energy. Is that true?
Are you talking about as far as a setback for when you're not there?
Yes. You know, I'm not at home, so I'm just going to turn it off. And when I get home a couple hours later, I'm going to turn it back on.
That's actually a good idea to do it that way, because the way you actually take heat on are the heat differences in between the outside and the inside. So you have a wall that gives a thermal barrier, and it can take on heat based on the difference. So if it's 70 degrees outside and 90 degrees inside, then it's taking on more heat than if it's 80 degrees inside and 90 degrees outside.
You mentioned, Randy, that the industry's really changed in the 33 years that your family has been in business. What are some of the changes that you might see in the horizon if you could look into your crystal ball, some things that you say, you know, this is where the future of HVAC is going?
Well, it's becoming more computerized. They're wireless. Wi-Fi is involved with controlling your systems. The government is setting new standards. The efficiency for our region is going to 14 SEER for air conditioning. Right now it's at 13 SEER. In different parts of the country where they have very cold winters, they have to go to a minimum 96% furnace, which is good for them and bad for them. But for us, it's not going to be very hard to accomplish because the industry will easily be able to achieve that minimum.
I've got to ask you this, Randy. This is no secret. There's a lot of companies out there that do HVAC. What separates Wellborn from your competitors?
Well, I've had a lot of customers for a long time, and, you know, it's almost like we're more friends than anything else. I've gone the extra mile several times. I know there have been times where I've sold somebody a very expensive system because they wanted the most efficient, and they had problems with it well out of warranty, and I've gone ahead and taken care of it because they trusted my opinion. I gave them what I thought was the best advice, and it failed anyway, and so I just went ahead and took care of it like 2 or 3 years later, long after my responsibility was over.
You know, it's funny. You did the right thing, and you think it's a no-brainer to do the right thing, but that's not the case with a lot of companies these days.
Well, it's difficult because, you know, I don't get paid for that, and, you know, it's just something I feel like if they're going to trust me, I'm going to have to do what I have to do.
You're a third-generation owner for Wellborn Heating and Air. Is there going to be a fourth generation, by the way?
You know, it's unlikely. I have a grown son, and he's in IT with AT&T, and he's very happy there and making a nice living. My daughter turns 13 Friday.
She's your last chance?
She is the last chance, and she could do it. I mean, she just is a very gung-ho young lady. My son was never interested whatsoever, and that was fine. If you know, I'm still around to pass it on to her, I'd love to see her do it.
Is your dad still involved?
He passed away a few years ago.
Okay. Do you have any other family that's involved with the company right now?
No, I do not.
Okay, because I know a lot of companies, they have the families, and sometimes it's a good thing, and sometimes it's not. The people that work for you, the people that are coming out, the ones that are repairing the heating and air conditionings for folks, the ones that are installing, it's not just any Joe in a truck. I mean, you have to be, I assume, certified and trained. Talk about your employees. What do they have to go through before they can even step into the first customer's house?
Well, they have to have training. We do background checks to make sure there's no history, so something's not going to disappear from someone's house or business. They have to be certified by the state, and I try and keep the best of the best, and I try and pay them, you know, what they're worth.
And it's important to have good people, obviously, because a lot of folks, not to point fingers at myself, don't know a whole lot about heating and air. We struggle just to replace the filter. Couple questions. A, how often should you replace a filter in your, you know, air conditioning unit, and B, do you offer any maintenance programs where if I it's just above my head that you can come in and kind of take care of that for me?
Well, we obviously offer maintenance programs, and we offer a variety of them. Some of them we offer quarterly. For businesses, we'll either go quarterly, or it depends on the needs. Some of them we actually do monthly because they need it that often. In a homeowner situation, we'll either do twice or three times a year. And the reason for the three times a year is during the summer, the fan is running almost continually. And so the filter loads up, the drains are full of water, mold's building up in there. We want to take care of that and just not have any kind of situation.
Mike, I had a question for Randy. I would be in Mike's camp of not knowing anything about my unit, and my wife would back that up wholeheartedly. So here would be my question. Obviously, you guys set yourself apart from your competition in the marketplace. As a consumer, when I'm talking to somebody, whether it's for a maintenance program or I've had a crisis and I need to replace something, what are some questions I should be asking? What are some things I should be looking for that show me that you guys are different from your competition, that you guys stand apart?
Well, obviously, pricing is going to be an issue. I'm not trying to be the lowest. That, you know, if I can't make enough money to survive, I'm not going to be happy. I've got to make a living. And normally those that are the lowest, there's a reason for that. I often try, honestly, in a crisis situation, I want to avoid that. I want to see something coming and be able to have built some trust with you and say, you know, now's the time. Let's do it now. Let's not do it on a 95-degree day. Let's not be making this decision when you're melting inside your house or business.
So one of the first things is would be to say, hey, let's start a relationship before everything breaks down and do
absolutely.
The maintenance stuff.
Absolutely.
With winter coming up now, it's starting to get cold out there. Any tips that you can offer to our listeners right now, something they should do as far as their heating or their air conditioning unit right now this time of the year?
Well, as far as heating's concerned, I mean, you've got to maintain it, and it's got to be done professionally. There's not a homeowner that's going to have the expertise and know what they're looking for. A lot of times, you know, like the old transmission commercials go, it's pay me now or pay me later. It's easier to take care of an inexpensive problem now rather than have it develop into something much worse. Normally, most businesses see the sense in that. Homeowners, not so much. I would say, you know, less than 40% of homeowners have regular maintenance on their heating and air conditioning. It's, you know, it's on them. It's a mistake. And it ends up costing them later.
We're talking with Randy Wellborn, the owner of Wellborn Heating and Air Conditioning. They've been in business for 33 years, based out of Chambly, right down the road from us here in Duluth, Georgia. Do you serve industrial or commercial clients as well, or is it all residential?
I would categorize it as light commercial and obviously, yes, industrial. It depends on, you know, the type of situation it is. It would just vary.
Okay, so for our business leaders out there, you know, it's at least worth a conversation, and if you can do it, great. If maybe it's not where it's your expertise, I'm sure you have references and say, hey, here's who you need to call.
Expertise is the key word. You know, I don't spend a lot of time with 50-ton units.
Yeah.
As far as 25-ton and down, I spend a lot of time, so there would be a lag there. I could do it, but I don't know that it's something I would want to get into regularly.
One last question. Do you have after hours? For example, if something were to break down, are people available 24/7 or on weekends? How does that work?
Every message that goes into the office, I get an email within about 2 minutes, and I respond as quickly as I can. And if they need service, then that's when they get the service.
Randy, what do you enjoy most about your job and what you do?
Really, I'll say overall it's meeting different people. I mean, I'm in and out of people's businesses and homes constantly. I love to see their pictures on the wall and businesses. I like to see the details of what they're actually doing and what they're going through. It's really just the people and the personalities.
And 33 years you've been in business. Where do you see the company going 5-6 years from now? Where do you hope to be?
Well, really what we're attempting to do right now is build a loyal customer base and use less and less general contractors to work for, because in this industry that tends to be recession-proof. I knew that a decade ago and then got away from it because there were a lot of general contractors offering a lot of good contracts, and I live to regret that. So now I'm trying not to make that mistake again and just build the client base back.
Well, Randy, thanks so much for joining us. Congratulations on the success of your company as well. For those that want to find out more, or they wanted to look into you know, having some services or maintenance done by your company, where can they go to get some more information?
Well, we have a website, wellbornair.com. You can always give us a call, and we're on LinkedIn also.
Okay, and Wellborn Air, WELLBORN, WellbornAir.com. Randy, thanks so much for joining us today on Business Radio X.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, Randy Wellborn, the owner of Wellborn Heating and Air Conditioning, joining us here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Joining us now, Stephen Julian. We get a chance to actually talk about some financial advising and so forth. Stephen is with Cornerstone Private Client Group. Sometimes I need my glasses just to be able to see things. How you doing this morning, Stephen?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Cornerstone Private Client Group. Tell us all about the company, how long it's been around, and any other information you want to share about it.
Well, Cornerstone Private Client Group is a group of independent financial advisors and CFPs, and we even have a CPA in our midst. We each have our own independent businesses. However, we've come together at one place to leverage our space, leverage our time, and leverage our resources to work in community and to help all of our clients. But again, you know, we are each our own independent business, but you know, great minds think alike, two heads are better than one, all those kind of cliches. We work together well, and so we are on in Suwanee, Satellite Boulevard, and the gates at Sugarloaf.
I've heard you talk before about financial issues rather than a financial plan. Explain what you're talking about there.
Sure. There are a lot of good financial people in the world. There's a lot of good advice. There's a lot of good people doing a lot of good work. In order to kind of differentiate myself and also just to kind of stay true to who I am and how I came to be in this business, I try to focus with my clients and with potential clients on issues. One of the things I found after years in this business is it usually starts, a relationship with a client will usually start with an issue or a question about an issue. Hey, Steven, my mom's got this going on. Can you help with this issue? Hey, I want to know if I'm going to have enough money to send my kids to college. I want to know if I'm going to have enough money to retire. I want to know what to do with my old 401k plan. I heard on the radio that if I did this or that, it'll mess this up or that up. In fact, actually yesterday, and I know people always go, I just had a phone call, and they really mean 3 years ago, but literally yesterday, I was talking with a client whose husband is just past the age of 59 and a half. And they wanted to take out some money to help pay for their son's college. And she was concerned that if he started to take money out of his retirement account, that he couldn't stop. And I said, no, it's your money. You can take a little bit out now and save the rest for when you actually retire. And, you know, so she just was under the impression, I thought I had heard somewhere that if I take it out, I have to keep taking it out. And I thought, and I said, no, let's deal with the issue and answer the question.
Does everybody need to have a financial planner or talk to a financial advisor? It's because some people would think, okay, I don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars or tens of thousands of dollars to invest. Why would I talk to someone like Stephen Julian?
Well, that's actually a very good question. One of the things that's interesting there are, I believe Australia has passed a few laws that actually make it easier for advisors to work with anyone in the general population. Usually, people have this conception that misconception that I have to have a lot of money to talk to a planner or an advisor. The fact is, a good advisor or a good planner will talk to anybody that's serious about wanting to deal with their issues, about wanting to get good answers to their financial questions and make their financial situation better. Everybody has a financial plan. Their financial plan might be, I have no idea what's coming next, or I don't know what's around the corner, or I don't know what I'm supposed to do. That's a plan. It's not a good one, but they've got it. The answer to that question is I think everybody should be talking about their financial issues with someone. People who don't work with a planner might be talking to their grandfather who survived the Depression and knows basic good common sense stuff about money. But I would say, I would encourage everybody to talk to someone and find an advisor, because almost all advisors will not charge to at least just sit down and talk to you and get to the point where you ask, okay, how do you get paid? Is this going to be worth your time and energy and effort? And show them what you have. There are different ways for advisors to work with people. And everybody always asks me, do I have to have a minimum to talk to you? And my answer is always, I will talk with anybody with any amount of money. In fact, more than a few of my clients started with zero with me and just started doing something on a monthly basis. But the key thing is they were serious. They wanted to get serious about their financial plan.
Yeah, I would think if somebody, they have $50 a month, you can invest that and it adds up and you got the interest that accrues and things like that. And, you let your money make some money for you as well.
And you don't have to work with an advisor. There are good companies out there, Fidelity and Schwab and Vanguard who don't work through advisors. They offer their stuff generally to the public. I got started in this business by just kind of learning the stuff myself. So I did a lot of my own investing, and there are plenty of people who do that. And there's nothing – that's fine. That's great. If that really excites you, then go ahead and do it yourself. But people who want to talk to an advisor, usually, again, they have questions. They want to make sure that they're not crazy or thinking wrong, and they just kind of want some help along the way.
We're talking with Steve and Julian with Cornerstone Private Client Group. And I know there's no cookie cutter approach for that person. It's like, I don't feel comfortable, you know, taking chances or taking risks with my money. There's things they can do that are low risk, high risk, based on that personality, which is why you have to, I would think, have that consultation to kind of get an idea of what kind of person they are, so they feel comfortable, because you want them to feel comfortable with whatever it is that they decide to do.
I think one of the biggest differentiators in my industry that I look around, and again, there's a lot of great people who do a lot of good things in my industry, but I think one of the biggest things that will separate me from other people and me and other advisors like me is that we truly, I think you need to try and find an advisor who's truly going to try and put together a plan for you. A lot of people will say that, but it can be sometimes the, you know, kind of Wizard of Oz, the man behind the curtain. He's really just doing the same thing for everybody. I think it's very important to work with someone who is truly listening to you, who is not just saying, this is what I do for every client, so that's what I'm going to do for you. And is really, you know, you've mentioned something about, you know, low risk, high risk. Part of one of the things I see with working with clients is I'll find somebody who says, oh yeah, I'm really, really low risk. And rather than just take them at their word, I'll start to explain what risk means and what different investments mean about different risk. And they'll realize maybe I'm not as low risk as I thought I was, or maybe my definition of low risk is not what the professional financial advisor is telling me a low risk is. Cause I always tell people, I'll say, so what are your goals? And I can, now I will say everybody has the same goal. I want maximum return with zero risk. Okay. Well then go to the bank and right now they'll give you, you know, 0.5%. Have fun with that. That's no risk. That's truly.
And you're actually losing money because you're not keeping up with inflation.
So then it becomes, okay, if I could show you a way and show you that you're not taking that much risk and you have the potential to get 5, 6, 7, 8% average return. And of course, that's another little misconception. I got an average return of 8%. Okay, well, let's look back over the history and realize you never really got 8. One year it was 20, one year it was negative 10, one year it was flat, one year it was only 4. So an average return is made up of many different individual returns. So just recognizing what that is and developing a plan to deal with that.
At Cornerstone Private Client Group, are there certain products that you deal with? Obviously, mutual funds, I'm sure, is very popular. Are there certain areas where you know if someone's got a little bit of money that they do want to invest and they want to be fairly safe for the most part, that you kind of steer them in this direction?
One of the reasons I joined Cornerstone is every single advisor in the office brings a different set of strengths to the table. And so we kind of join our forces and teach each other so that we can take that to our clients. One of the things I tell people is if you do sit down with a financial advisor, I think one of the first questions you should ask is, are there any financial products you can't sell? If you want to differentiate people, find the advisors who can only sell mutual funds or who can only sell insurance products, and then avoid them because they can't truly give you the entire universe of investments out there. So,
and I've heard, Stephen, where people will say, you know, I spoke with someone and they pointed me in that direction because they, as the agent, will make more money by getting you to invest there than here.
And make sure if you sit down with anyone, if it's not the first question, maybe it should be the second. Explain to me how you get paid. You know, I always, right now the big buzzword is fee only advisor. Are you a fee only advisor? One of the things I tell clients is, a good solid financial advisor who's got all the right licenses and can sell any product can be either fee only or can be transaction oriented. And I tell my clients, I usually do a little bit of both with every client. And if you let me explain, I'll show you how the reason I'm doing it is to save you money. You can be transaction oriented if you can show them it will save the client money. I tell people, unfortunately, the people in the industry who are not don't have the highest integrity and not doing always the best for the client are the ones who they can make a fee only cost you more than it should, and they can make transaction cost you more than it should. So always ask, what are you getting paid in this transaction? And just listen, because usually when I do explain what I get paid, my clients always go, is that it? it's really not that much. So you just talk it through and then make sure they're comfortable with it.
If it was a whole lot, you'd have one or two clients and you'd be done with it. Right. I understand. But like Randy was saying earlier, you have to make some money somewhere along the way. But I would think a good financial planner or a good financial advisor is worth his or her weight in gold.
Absolutely. And a client, a client who's serious will recognize and appreciate the good advice, recognize and appreciate the personalized service, and will say it is well worth the money that I'm paying you so that we're doing this together. I always tell people, I talk about financial issues. My job is to help them discover what their financial issues are, help them find answers to their issues, and then start a long-term relationship with them. And I think that's a key thing. Find an advisor who's willing to start a long-term relationship with you to help turn those issues into financial victories over time.
I would think you really enjoy what you do because you're helping people, obviously. That's the whole goal.
It's a way to serve. I think there are people who do this just to sell. I think there are a lot of good people who do this to serve and really serve their clients. I think one of the best – I'll pat myself on the back a little bit. One of the best compliments I got was someone said, the more I work with you, the more I realize you really truly care about what we're trying to accomplish. And of course I truly care. That's why I want to work with them. And I always tell my clients – at the end of the day, I won't ever forget, and you should never forget, I work for you. I'm your employee. So, of course, if you treat me poorly, I'll go find another employer. But, just to set up this relationship and recognize it's your money and I work for you.
Obviously, people look at the stock market, and it fluctuates, as you mentioned. It goes up and down. Where are we now? Have we come back? There was that kind of crash with the whole burst of the bubble with the technology and so forth. Are we back now? I heard the other day something about record levels. Are we actually back at record levels now?
We've actually passed where we were in 2007 before everything dropped.
Wow.
So
the people that have stayed in the market are fine.
Yes.
This is not for the faint of heart if you're in there for a short term.
Well, actually, I'm going to disagree with you on that, Mike.
Really?
I think even the faint of heart can be part of this. What one of the missions I'm on is to try and just teach people to help them understand, what is really truly going on. The stock market is made up of individual companies. Your show, you interview business owners. The stock market gives people the opportunity to be business owners on a very small scale. They own shares of a company. And any business owner will tell you, you have good years and bad years. You have good times and bad times. And the market is made up of hundreds, if not thousands, of companies. So when people hear the stock market is down, that just means that on average, more stocks went down in value than went up in value. So therefore, it shows that it went down. But inside of that market, there are always companies that are doing better or are growing. So it's the faint of heart thing is, I would argue that those people more often than not just don't understand. Because when you start explaining it as just owning a business and understanding what a business does and figuring out to find investments that people can get behind, there's always an investment. I haven't found a client yet who can't find one investment that they can't get behind. Now, it might not be in the stock market, but, at least they find something that they'll get behind, whether it's a debt instrument like a bond or whether it's, there are people who put all of their money in gold, but that's an investment they get behind.
A lot of education, a lot of educating that you have to do, obviously, but obviously you enjoy that very much. By the way, Coke stock. I mean, I know everybody, I want to buy some Coca-Cola stock because I don't, what Coke stock's probably expensive as heck right now, isn't it?
So let me do a little educating.
Oh, I guess, am I allowed to even ask questions like this?
Probably not. Okay. And so then I have to throw in the disclaimer, past performance is no guarantee of future results. And I will predict that Coke will fluctuate just like every other stock. But what's interesting. So I'll say, you said Coke stock is very expensive. What's really funny is a couple of years ago, Coke was trading at $90. It had grown to like $90 a share and then they split. So that means if you had, 100 shares, all of a sudden you had 200 shares. Well, guess what happened to Coke stock? It got cut in half. Coke didn't double in size. They just doubled the number of shares. So therefore, the share price goes down by half. So one of the things I find very funny is I'll go to schools or I'll sit with a client and I'll say, okay, Google is trading at $1,000 a share and Procter & Gamble is trading at $80 a share. Which company is bigger or more expensive? Oh, Google, look, it's at $1,000 a share. Well, go back to basic math. You got to have all the variables. The price of the share times the number of shares will tell you how expensive the company is or what the value of the company is. So just I have clients who go, I don't want to buy a $100 stock. Well, why not? I mean, if there's that, I want to buy cheap stocks. I want to buy low price stocks. Well, this one might be less expensive than the $5 stock. It all depends on the number of shares and all that kind of stuff. And I've now bored people, but that's what I
try to do. And I could ask you, you know, why? How come we never learn all this in school? But you know,
don't get me started.
That's a whole other subject. So we won't go there.
They did, Mike. You were asleep that day.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it. Steve and Jillian with Cornerstone Private Client Group is our guest. For those that want to reach out, find out more about your services, find out more about Cornerstone. Where can they go?
Well, before I do that, I would like to say to anybody listening, before they contact me, figure out what your issues are. Figure out what your plan is. You know, one of the things I always tell people, I said you want to get personalized service, but you know, if you want to just start, there's some good books out there. There's some good people teaching some good things. You know, have a plan to make sure that, you know, you pay off your house by the time you retire. Have a plan to make sure you're saving something, you know, that you're doing something. Just start somewhere and then sit down with an advisor and talk through your issues and your plan. But the way they can contact me is multiple ways. You can go to the website, cornerstoneprivateclientgroup.com. You can also call my personal number is 678-499-6933. We're also on Facebook. We're also on LinkedIn. And you can also follow us on Twitter, Cornerstone PCG. We put a lot of good articles and we put a lot of good links to some good financial news that's out there. And just contact us any way you want.
Sounds great. Stephen, thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. Want to thank both our guests, Stephen Jillian from Cornerstone Private Client Group, and Randy Wellborn, the owner of Wellborn Heating and Air Conditioning, for joining us here on Gwinnett Business Radio. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs 24/7 by logging on to GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.